Guten Tag, Privet! Hello, and welcome back to one of our special No Spoilers, Just the Facts, Ma'am episode of the Deux Poids podcast. Just when you think you can't be in love with Sweden anymore, they announced that for 2 weeks only, Malmö will be opening ABBA World! So for all those heading to Malmö this year, there's actually going to be a two-week exhibition celebrating all things ABBA. The doors will be opening on Monday the 29th of April, where it's going to be exploring, obviously, not just the history of ABBA, ABBA the museum, but you also get to enjoy exhibitions on Mamma Mia, of course, the stage musical based on the works of ABBA. Two floors. You will have two whole floors of ABBA goodness where you can jump on a small mini stage and you too can perform as part of ABBA. ABBA World also is advertising that it has a sign-up page so you can receive emails and news updates about all things ABBA World. So if you're heading there and want to make sure that you don't miss a thing, I suggest you sign on. I'll put a link up on our Facebook page. But it turns out it's not just Sweden that's going ABBA crazy in the lead up to Euro 2024. BBC has been putting together a documentary highlighting the best of footage that ABBA has performed for the BBC over the last 50 years. As we actually move closer to the main event in May, the BBC has actually dedicated, they will be having a whole night, one whole Saturday night of nothing but ABBA specials and documentaries, including footage that was believed to have been lost. In 1974, ABBA actually appeared on the BBC's On Top of the Pops. Now, the only copy of this footage was lost in the archives. No! They're like, that's it, it's gone. We're never going to get that back. Because obviously in the 1970s, it was just recorded on film. That's all you had. There were no backups. There were no saves. There were no terabyte mystery drives. Till just recently, a Top of the Pops band actually unearthed a home recording of the performance. The recording was taken and restored, and it's going to be shown for the first time in 50 years. And you know what? If you're looking towards doing some spring cleaning and you're like, you know what? I'm going to get rid of these CDs. I'm going to get rid of these old DVDs. I'm going to get rid of their records. If you've got the ABBA ones, more than ever, hold on to them, because I guarantee once all this nostalgia hits, your ABBA records are going to be worth their weight in gold. And for those of you who are going to be in Malmö but haven't managed to secure tickets to the semifinals or the grand final, don't worry. The city is going to be hosting live events at the Malmö Live Congress and Concert Hall. Live events where everyone can come together and enjoy all that is Eurovision 2024. It's a great place to mingle, connect with the world, but I've got to be honest, I still say it to this day, one of the absolute best seats in the house, Eurovision 2024, is in the comfort of your own living room. The drinks are cheap, the food is great, and there's never a queue for the toilet. So stay with us. Later on the week, we're going to have another episode. There will be some spoilers in that one. We will be discussing a couple of more acts and performers that have been released. We'll be looking at those, looking at the film clips, and just generally nervously biting our nails until May 7th in Malmö. But in the meantime, we are going to drop some ABBA general knowledge on you to woo and wow your friends at your next Eurovision party and round the office cooler. Of course, we all know the song Waterloo. It is the pinnacle moment that ABBA wins the Eurovision Song Contest in 1974. But here is the most shocking part. This wasn't the first time ABBA had tried to represent Sweden at the Eurovision Song Contest. ABBA actually tried in 1973 to represent Sweden with their song Ring, Ring, Why Don't You Give Me a Copyright reason, I won't finish that. Copyright. That's right, in 1973, ABBA was ready to go, but Sweden was not as ready. They competed in Melodifestivalen. They didn't just not win. They came third. That's right. Sweden actually decided in 1973 there were two performers better than ABBA. Can you imagine? The next year, they came back with Waterloo, which was actually specifically written for the Eurovision Song Contest. Okay, here is some shocking news. Do you want to know the original working title of Waterloo? The original title of the song? Napoleon? Frenchtown Funk? No, none of that. The original title of Waterloo was Honey Pie. Let that sink in for a minute. You defeated me with honey pie. Kind of works. Kind of sexy. Another bit of trivia. German and French versions of the song were recorded in the March and April of 1974. The French version was adapted by Alain Boubil, who would later go on to co-write the 1980 musical Les Misérables. Talk about going from winner to winner. Now, another piece of trivia in case it comes up in a quiz night. And if you're going to a quiz night and the questions aren't ABBA related, what are you even doing at that quiz night? Did Napoleon actually surrender at Waterloo? No, he did not. Was he defeated? Yes, he was. His ass, fair, square, kicked. But he didn't actually surrender there. He took off, and his surrender didn't actually come until some weeks later, 700 kilometers away from Waterloo in the port of Rochefort. They make the cheese place. So just remember that for quiz night. Just think the cheese place, the cheese place. Can you believe ABBA actually considered another song to submit instead of Waterloo? They actually considered the song Hasta Manana. Hasta Manana, am I saying that correctly? Absolutely not. They decided on Waterloo because Waterloo actually gave joint vocals between the two ladies, to Anfrida. Now, of course, we all get this glossy image in our mind and we're like, oh, Waterloo, obviously Waterloo was going to win. Waterloo, it must have won in a landslide. 6 points. It only won by 6 points. Waterloo shot to the charts number one in the UK. It also topped charts in Denmark, West Germany, Finland, Ireland, Norway, Belgium, South Africa, Switzerland, and Australia. Australia got on board from the beginning. Now, the other thing that may absolutely blow your mind for all of its glory and all of the beauty that it unleashed on the world, Waterloo was in fact not ABBA's highest selling single. That, of course, there can be only one on the throne. And of course, it is 1976, Dancing Queen. Dancing Queen became a worldwide number one. It topped the charts more than a dozen countries, including Sweden. In Sweden, it actually spent 14 weeks at the top. Norway, it actually charted for 32 weeks. But at the end of the day, we can never go past Waterloo because that is the song, the performance, the look, the style that truly launched ABBA onto the world. And remember, Waterloo actually made it to number 6 on the US charts, which is unheard of. When is the last time a Eurovision winner went straight to number 6 in the US? Oh, now I could sit here and throw some more facts at you, but the honest truth is, now we've talked about it, all I want to do is go and do a little bit of Dancing Queen myself. I'm going to dance all around this house. I need to put on a little dance for the show. I need to put on a little dance for the cats. Tell me, what is your favourite ABBA song? For me, it's always going to be Waterloo. My man. It's not often you can have a number one Billboard jammer and historical learning going hand in hand. I love it. We're dancing, we're singing, we're having a good time, and we're learning about the past, so we'll never repeat it again. Big question is, maybe we should start a poll on how long will the ABBA medley go at Eurovision? We all know how many absolute bangers they have. I guess that's going to be the question. That's our question for this week. How many ABBA songs can you fit into one? voting break. Until that time, be nice to each other, drink some water, don't lick any lies posts, and just remember, to be the queen, you have to dance.